Whenever we address the sugya in halach and lamdus of chinuch, so we have to first set down the basic premise that the mitzvah of chinuch, as we know it, is really a requirement midirabbanan. That does not mean that we're not supposed to teach our children Torah min haTorah, and it's pretty obvious that we have a Torah obligation to speak to our children, to teach them the words of Torah. That is obvious. Nevertheless, when we speak about the mitzvah of chinuch being midirabbanan, what that means is the formalities of chinuch. I have to teach my child about how to keep Shabbos. I have to teach my child about davening. But the fact that I have to make them literally go through the motions right now, that's only midrabbanan. Min haTorah, they have a freebie until they turn bar bas mitzvah. But midrabbanan, chazal and misakin, that we are required to be mechanech our children. Again, the parameters of what exactly it's all about, hopefully we'll talk about as the shiur continues. Even though the details of chinuch are only midirabbanan, the concept of being mechanech at children, even in ma'isim, not just simply in teaching, is a concept min haTorah. The Meshech Chochma points this out in Parshas Vayera, that Avraham Avinu is praised by the Baruch Hu L'mana She'etzav his Banav his Beis Ha'Acharav, the Lazos Derech Mishpah, the Lazishpah Derech Hashem, etc. That the fact that we train our children to act appropriately, that's a good thing. That's a Torah concept. It's something that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, albeit it's not actually a tzivu, it's not an actual obligation, but midirabbanan is considered to be an obligation. So one has to raise the basic question at the Rishayim debate about this mitzvah of chinuch. What is the nature of this obligation? What is this all about? It's a very strange concept, because min haTorah, the child is not chayv in mitzvahs. So how do we understand this notion that min haTorah, one is not chayv in mitzvahs, and that midirabbanan, one becomes chayv in mitzvahs? So one can understand that in one of two ways. Either one can understand that this is not fundamentally different than other mitzvahs de rabbanan. It's a min haTorah, I'm not obligated to light chanukah candles. Min haTorah, I'm not obligated to wash the tefillah yadayim. But min derabbanan I am. So to a child, the 10-year-old kid is not chayav min haTorah to sit in the sukkah, but min derabbanan, he is obligated to sit in the sukkah. So it's a mitzvah de rabbanan that was muteles on the child, on the katan. It's a chayav min derabbanan that speaks to the katan himself. So this opens up a loaded question, both in halach and hashkaf. Maybe we'll have a little bit of time at the end to talk about that. About we're talking almost in circles, because l'chora, if a child is not chayiv in mitzvos min haTorah, so that he's not mechuyif to listen to the chachamim. If you're not mechuyif to listen to the chachamim, so how could you have a mitzvah derabbanan? So that's a very, very big problem. We'll have to try to deal with that a little bit towards the end. But there are definitely some mishnayim who learn this way, that chinuch is a mitzvah midirabbanan that would tell us on the child. But there is another option in mishnayim, that chinuch is not an obligation on the child at all. The child is not chayiv in mitzvos, so he cannot have any chiyuvim. What it means is that the parent is chayav, the father is chayav in the mitzvah. Midrabbanan chazal mata lechiyuv on the father to make sure that the kid does X, Y, and Z. So it's not a mitzvah sabayin, rather it's literally a mitzvah sa'av. So this machlokes in the Rishonim conceptually about who is the mechuyav bedavar, the mitzvah chinuch, is the child the mechuyav bedavar midrabbanan, or is the parent the mechuyav bedavar midrabbanan? So this expressed itself in many, many questions that relate to the details of the mitzvah chinuch. So there is a sugya that appears in a few different places and different manifestations of the sugya about can one person be mitzi somebody else in dechayvasu in a mitzvah? Let's say, for example, I want to bench on your behalf. I'm going to be mitzi you in Shemei Koina. I'm going to start howl on your behalf, Shemei Koina. I'm going to read the Megillah on your behalf, Shemei Koina. So we have a principle in halacha that I can be mitzi somebody else. There is a din in haTorah. The Gemara Masechet Sukkah derives this from Sukkim, albeit the Sukkim are not Sukkim in the Chumash itself, but clearly this is a Torah Shema Peh of Shomei Ka'ona. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that in order to be motzi somebody in Shomei Ka'ona, you have to be a mechuyav bedavar. You have to be obligated in the mitzvah. You have to be obligated in the mitzvah at least on the same level as the person you're being motzi, or at a higher level. So let's say, for example, if I'm chayav in the mitzvah min haTorah, and you're also chayav in the Torah, I can be motzi you. If I'm chayav mit the Rabbanan, and you're chayav mit the Raisa, then I cannot be motzi. That's the Perish Yigmar in Brachas Abchaf of Abayis. So comes the Mishnayis, it comes the Sugyas, it comes the Mishnayim and elaborate upon what is the status of a Kotla? Can a Kotla be Maitzi and Gotl in a mitzvah? Assuming that the child is a Gilachinus. If a 12-year-old boy wants to be the one to be Maitzi and Gotl. So if we're dealing with the mitzvah Dera Aisa, let's say the 12-year-old boy wants to blow shofar for the Gotl, so that's out of the question, because the Gotl is Chayv and Shofar min haTorah. The Kotla is at best only a Chayv and Shofar min haRabbanan. A derabbanan can't be mitzvah deraisa. But what if we're dealing with the mitzvah derabbanan? What if we're dealing with the mitzvah such as kriyas habegila? Well, according to many rishonim, the mitzvah halal is only mitzvah derabbanan. So can a child be motzi an adult? Can a child be mitzvah a gadol in a mitzvah that itself is only mitzvah derabbanan? So Tosfos in Maseches Megillah raises this question: why not? What could be wrong with this? After all, I'm a mechuyav bedavar, and he's a mechuyav bedavar. the child is chayav midrabanan, and we're only dealing with the mitzvah midrabanan, so the girl is chayav midrabanan. What could possibly be the problem? So Tosfos points out that it appears from the Gemara Maseches Megillah that that is not the case. The simple meaning of the Gemara is that that is problematic, and Tosfos is not quite sure what the problem is. So Tosfos searches and searches and searches and comes up with the following theory, that although Kriyas HaMegillah is only midrabanan, a child's chiyuv in Kriyas HaMegillah is not identical to an adult's chiyuv in Kriyas HaMegillah. A child is what Tosfos coined the phrase called a trade derabanan. That a child, when he reads the Megillah, so the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is double derabanan to him. It's twice removed from the world of deraisas. One reason is because Kriyas HaMegillah itself is only a mitzvah of derabanan. And number two is that he's a child, so his chiyuv in all mitzvahs is only a mitzvah of derabanan. So he's what's called a trade derabanan. When the Godol wants to be a Kriyas HaMegillah, to him it's only a chad derabanan, because he's chayiv in mitzvahs generally min HaTorah. The particulars of Kriyas HaMegillah is the Rabbanan, so he's a Chad Rabbanan. So Tosfos has this idea that there are gradations, there's a hierarchy, even within the world of the Rabbanans, that not every Rabbanan can be Motzi every Rabbanan. You have to be on equal footing the Rabbanan, and if you're a trade Rabbanan and he's a Chad Rabbanan, that's not going to fly. So that's the way Tosfos understands Pshat in the Sugya in Maseches Megillah. The Ramban in the Mechabes Hashem in the third Pechabes Hashem's Brachas has a different twist on the Sugya Legamri. The Ramban argues that a Koton can never be Maitzi a Godel in any mitzvah. Not a Deraisa, not a Derabana, not a Chadrabana, not a Tredrabana, nothing Gornish. It is impossible for a Koton to be Maitzi a Godel in any mitzvah at all, because a Koton is simply not a Mechuyu B'Dover. Why is he not a Mechuyu B'Dover? Isn't he have the mitzvah of Chinuch? So the answer is no, says the Ramban. The mitzvah of Chinuch is Mutelas Al-Av, it's not on the child. So the child, vis-a-vis himself, his vantage point is not a mechuyav b'davar b'chlal. So having the child be meitzi the gadol, it would be a violation of ein mechuyav b'davar be meitzi somebody else. So clearly Tosfos didn't hold like that lomdus of the Ramban. From the fact that Tosfos had to create this new category, these two categories of chad rabbanan and trade rabbanan, it's clear that Tosfos held b'ikaron, a child could be meitzi a gadol. If you can get them on the same playing field, it would work. Just that there's a technical problem, and maybe we can overcome the technical problem sometimes. But Tosfos holds that fundamentally a Koton can be Maitzi a Godel, presumably because he's a Mechuyav B'Davar mit the Rabbanan, unlike the Lomdus of the Ramban, that a Koton is not a Mechuyav B'Davar at all. There is a third possibility in Rishonim, that the answer is in Ochinami, that a Koton can be Maitzi a Godel in mitzvahs mit the Rabbanan. Namely, we reject the Ramban's theory, and we also reject Tosfos' theory, so you have to reread the Gemara Maseches Megillah a little bit, but there is that third possibility out there, lahalacha. These different opinions play out lahalacha, just not that long ago, with Neres Chanukah, but the Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos that someone who's chayev in Neres Chanukah can light on behalf of the Bnei Habayis. Somebody who is not chayev cannot light, cannot be mitzi to you in Neres Chanukah. So the Gemara says that if you have a Koton can't light Neres Chanukah on behalf of everybody else because he's Einu Mechuyav B'Davar. So to Rishonim have a big machlokes, what kind of a Koton are we talking about? So according to those Rishonim who say that a Koton can't be Motzi a Gadol, either because of the trade Rabbanan Svara or because of the Rabban Svara, so they will say, this is talking about even a regular Koton, a Koton up until the age of day before Bar Mitzvah cannot light to be Motzi the Bnei HaBayis. Masha'enket, according to the third opinion Rishonim, that a Koton, Higil Lechinuch, could be Maitzi as a Cherem. So they would have to understand that this Gemara is talking about a child before the age of Chinuch. But if the child is already Higil Lechinuch, he in fact can be the Madlich on behalf of Bnei Abayis. So this Machlokes that actually started in Nuchos Kriyas HaMegillah now spills over to Nuchos Chanukah to other areas of Halacha as well. How do we paskin Halacha in the Shailas? The Shulchan Aruch and Nuchos Chanukah quotes both opinions. He quotes one opinion that says that a 12-year-old boy can be Maitzi the Bnei Abayis. And the other opinion says, no, that until you're literally bar mitzvah, you cannot be mighty. So I remember several years ago, somebody asked me a shaila that the husband was out of town, and the wife was left behind with some kids, and the question was, who exactly was going to light the menorah? So I asked the woman how old her oldest child was. So she said that the oldest child was not yet bar mitzvah, 11, 12-year-old boy. So I said, I think that you should light the menorah. I explained to her, there are two opinions, whether the 12-year-old can really be mighty, the bnei habayis. So the more correct thing to do is for you to light the menorah in order to make sure he can also light the mahadran, but Mikra did, you should probably light it because there are two opinions of the Shulchan Aruch. So she got like the heebie-jeebies about it. She got all nervous, said, no, we don't do that. We don't like the women don't like the menorah. Yeah, I try to explain to her this is not a very modern psach. Like those who know me, this is not like a very progressive psach. I was just quoting you two opinions of the Shulchan Aruch. I said that I think it's more correct for you to light it, but for the trouble, she couldn't be makabal that psach. So I said, okay, so you hold the other day, Rishonim. Okay, no. Okay, anyway, back to our story. So this lomdus machlokes between Balei HaTosfos against the Ramban, what the nature of chinuch is all about, is chinuch fundamentally a mitzvah on the av, is chinuch fundamentally a mitzvah on the child. So this seems to spill over to other applications of this question as well. There is a big machlokes in Rishayim when we talk about the mitzvah of chinuch. How much do we have to replicate the mitzvah in the purest sense of the word? I want to be mechanech my child to do a mitzvah, so do I have to make sure that the ma'aseh mitzvah, the cheftish mitzvah, is really up to par, that it really is meeting the standards of what constitutes a really proper mitzvah? Or do I say, nah, it's only chinuch anyway, what's the big deal? As long as I'm basically training the kid, getting him into the good spirit, he likes doing mitzvahs, that's good enough. He doesn't have to do the mitzvah in a perfect sense. So this is the machlekes of Rishayim that appears in Maseches Sukkah. The Rishayim are actually talking about two different mitzvahs in Sukkah. Some Rishayim are talking about Sukkah, and some are talking about Dalet Minim, but it's the same fundamental question. So there is a sugya on Daf Beis in Maseches Sukkah, a very famous sugya, about the Sukkah of Hilni Hamalka. So she was sitting in the Sukkah, and there's a whole question about the dimensions, the size of the Sukkah. And the Gemara basically brings a raya. Rabbi Yehuda, one of the Torah, brings a raya that this sukkah was a gevurah meyichav amah. It was a very, very tall sukkah, more than 20 amas. And she was sitting there, and all the chachamim came to visit her, and nobody said boo about it. There must be a raya that a more than 20 amas sukkah is kshera. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The reason why the Rabbanim didn't say anything, because she was a woman. She threw it from sukkah anyway. The Gemara says, no, that's not a good reason. She had her children there, and the children were yigil lechinuch already. So since they were yigil lechinuch, there were sons yigil lechinuch, if the chachamim felt that the sukkah was really psula, they should have said something. So you see from here that the sukkah is kshera. That's the shach v'tai in the Gemara and the Beis and Masech HaSukkah. So the Ritva, the spot says, what's the raya? Maybe li'olam, the sukkah was psula, but for chinuch purposes, who says the sukkah has to be kshera for chinuch? Chinuch just means get the kids into the nice, cozy spirit of doing mitzvahs. Who says you have to be medaktik that it'd be 100% kosher? So says the Ritvan, you see from this Gemara that I'm wrong. You see from the Gemara that for the purposes of chinuch, you have to be mechanech your child to sit in a kosher sukkah. You can't be mechanech your child to sit in a posel sukkah. Whenever you do chinuch, you have to make sure that it's up to par, that the standards of the mitzvah, kedasu chidin. Otherwise, you didn't fulfill chinuch. So the Mordechai, in the end of Maseches Sukkah, talking about Dalet Minim, seems to disagree with this. There is an age-old question the Gemara raises about if I have a lulav and esrog in the first day of Sukkot, and I want to give it to my child to shake, so that's a problem, because if I give it to the child first, then the child is going to be kona it, and then they're not going to have the ability to be machin it back. Now, why exactly that's true in the Nimominus is a loaded question, but Lamais, that's what the Gemara says, that sometimes you have a situation where the child will be zoich on the esrog and he won't be able to give it back, and then it's not going to be lachem for me. So what do you do? Kabbalah, how do you do it? So the simple answer is, so you do it first, and then let the child do it afterwards. So if you live in Eretz Yisrael, that's a good solution. If you live in Chutzlar, it's not such a good solution, because with the Rabban in Chutzlar, we probably assume it has to be lachem the second day also. But let's say, even in Eretz Yisrael, I want to give it to the child first, so is there any way to do it whatsoever? So the Rishayim have a lot of trouble to figure out how to do it. So the Mordechai quotes the possibility, what's the big deal? Just lend it to the child. Have in mind, you're not back there to the child. You give it to him as a derech she'ela, not a derech matana. He doesn't own it, and he gives it back to you. Sure, then Shalom Yisrael. So the Mordechai says, that's no problem. So how come other Rishayim didn't come up with that theory? So the answer is, the Mordechai is clearly learning that for the purposes of chinuch, you don't have to actually replicate the mitzvah. The child would not be yetzei with such a lulav and esrog. There's a din of lachem. The Afa Pichein, the Mordechai says, that even though he's doing the mitzvah in a way that he wouldn't really be yetzei, that's good enough for the purposes of chinuch. And all the other Rishayim who didn't go down that route were assuming like the Ritva back in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Beis. How would the Mordechai respond to the Ritva's raya for the Gemara? So the Poshup Shad is that that's exactly why Chacham didn't accept Rabbi Yehuda's proof. Rabbi Yehuda said, I'll prove to you the Sukkah's Kshera, because the kids were sitting there, and the Chacham don't explain why they think it's not a raya. So probably the missing line in the Gemara, so to speak, is that the Chacham said, that's not a raya, the Sukkah Liola was Psula, and it's Dubba, not Fechinuch, because you don't need to replicate, you don't have to replicate the mitzvah properly. So what does this lachlokes depend on? Why should we insist that chinuch has to be done perfectly, like the Ritva assumes, or can chinuch be done in a very watered-down version, like the Mordechai says? So lichora, this is probably related to our topic as well. Namely, how do you understand this idea when the child does a mitzvah? Is pshat, the child is chayiv in the mitzvah sukkah midirabonon? The child is chayiv in the mitzvah dalamidim midirabonon? Is chazawa misake in the mitzvah has to be done by the child as a chiyuv v'dav v'chiyuv v'dav midirabonon? If that's the case, then it would make sense to have called the tikkun rabbani game, the raisa tikkun, the chazawa misakin, that it has to be a kosher sukkah, it has to be a kosher lulav. You can't be yaitzi a mitzvah of lulav midirabonon with the posel of lulav. Whereas if you hold that the mitzvah of chinuch is not really on the child, the child's not chayiv in the mitzvah, there's a nice idea for a father, for educational, pedagogical reasons, should be training the child to do things. So the father's got to get the kid into the spirit of things, into the swing of things, of doing mitzvahs. Does it have to be every kutzah shayur has to be kosher? No, doesn't necessarily have to be 100% kosher. As long as he's basically being mechanech the kid, he's getting him into the good spirit, the swing of things, that's sufficient. Like Moshe Bar David, there is a big machlokes in the Rishonim at the beginning of the third parak of Masechet Sukkah about the mitzvah of dala minim after the first day. Let's say outside of the mikdash, there's a din midirabbanan, and you have to shake a lulav zeich lemikdash. Takanas ubiyach min zakei, shei lulav nitl kol shiva zeich lemikdash. There's a lot of discussion in the Gemara and the Rishonim, how kosher must this dala minim be? How careful do we have to be with the standards of the first day and subsequent days? So what is that issue about? Why should we insist on the standards being the same, or why should we differentiate between the two? So the Biskira points out is Chidushim and Maseches Menachos, that there's always a fundamental question when Chazal and Masachin think Zechel and Mikdash, what is the nature of that takana? Does the nature of Zechel and Mikdash mean that although in the Torah you're only mechuyev to do this bezman Mikdash in the Beis Hamikdash itself, but the Rabbanan, they're a mechayev us to take a lulav of the entire week. It's basically the same mitzvah, it's just that the mechayev isn't the in the Torah, the mechayev is the Rabbanan, but the mitzvah is Netilas Lulav. Even though the impetus for the reason why Chazal introduced the mitzvah is because of Zeichel HaMikdash, but the mitzvah is not called Zeichel HaMikdash. We don't make a bracha Sher Kiddushan Liskos HaMikdash. The bracha is on Netilas Lulav. But the Rabbanan, because of Zeichel HaMikdash, they created a mitzvah the Rabbanan called Netilas Lulav. Or maybe that's not the Pshat Bechlal, says the Biskrav. Maybe the Pshat is that there's a mitzvah called Zeichel HaMikdash. You have to remember the base of Mikdash. You have to use the vehicle of the Tilas Lulav to reach that Zecher. You can't just put up big signs on Chol HaMoed and say, don't forget the base of Mikdash, put up nice and Shpizin and say, everyone remember what it was like the base of Mikdash. It has to be done through the vehicle of the Tilas Lulav, but it's not a mitzvah to Tilas Lulav. The mitzvah is a Zeichel HaMikdash. As the Biskarab, that's the nuance as to whether it has to be kosher or not. If you hold it's a mitzvah midirabbanan of the Tilas Lulav, so that it has to be an Tilas Lulav, it will call Protev Ditukah. If you hold that it's not a mitzvah to lulav anymore, it's just a simple way to remember to what the Beis HaMikdash was like. So I could remember the Beis HaMikdash with a less expensive set of dalet minim. So that's the Biskei Rav points this out on the Gemara Maseches Menachos and the Sabach Vav, but the Gemara quotes one opinion that says that Sviras HaOmer Bizman HaZeh is only midirabbanan, and therefore a name used to only say the days, he didn't say the weeks, because it's only Zechel HaMikdash. So the Biskei Rav said, why didn't he say the weeks for? He was too busy learning. He was on the phone. He couldn't finish the sentence of the weeks. So why should you do the mitzvah such a mudden way? Only the days, not the weeks. So the Biskei Rav explains, because it's not a mitzvah Sviras HaOmer. It's a mitzvah Zeichel HaMikdash. So there's absolutely no kiyum to say the weeks. The mitzvah is to remember the Beis HaMikdash. So whatever I do to keep that memory alive of the Beis HaMikdash, that's good enough. So that same idea that sometimes you have mitzvahs that don't apply min HaTorah, the mechayev isn't there min HaTorah. Either the mechayev is not there because there's no Beis HaMikdash, or the mechayev is not there because you're not bar mitzvah. So the mechayev of the mitzvah doesn't exist min HaTorah. Chazal now repackaged the mitzvah and created a mitzvah mid the Rabbanon. What is the nature of that repackaging? Is the nature of that repackaging mean now you're mechuyev mid the Rabbanon in that particular mitzvah, b'chol pratev ditukeha? But do I say, no, there's no such thing as a mitzvah of Shviras HaOmer today. There's no such thing as the Tilas Lulav Chutz HaMikdash. There's no such thing as a 12-year-old sitting in the Sukkah. Those are not mitzvahs. They're mitzvahs of Chinuch. The mitzvah, the general mitzvah of Chinuch. So the general mitzvah of Chinuch doesn't have to be replicated. So the Chorah, that really depends on this age-old question. Namely, what is Chinuch all about? If Chinuch is a Chaybes HaBein, so then with the Rabbanon, the child has to do this. So what is this? This is Dal Adinim. This is Sukkah. It has to be B'chol Pratev Ditukah. If you hold that the child is not a mechuyev bedavar, it's simply a chiyev amutal al av. So the chiyev amutal al av is just chanuch al apidarko, just to get him into the swing of things, but it doesn't have to be a perfect replica. Sometimes when we go shopping for dalaminim, so we see at the table they have the chinuch sets of dalaminim. So I always say that, you know, sometimes you see a guy sitting around trying to choose an esrog, he throws out, this esrog, this is no good, this is no good, this is no good. I said, your great-great-grandfather in Europe would have given anything to get for the chinuch set that you discarded. You wouldn't even look at the chinuch set for your two-year-old. So the Devon HaGor would have taken that esrog with the Simcha Rabba. So only because Baruch Hashem, we have a lot more esrog in the world today, but more access than we had in days gone by. But when you look for the mitzvah of the Alaminim, so just how much do you have to replicate? Does it really, truly have to be kosher? So according to the Ritva, it must be kosher. According to the Mordechai Lavdavka, that has to be kosher. So this question that we have in terms of chinuch, this is mostly concerning mitzvahs essay. That's what we've been talking about up until now. But now we shift over a little bit to the realm of mitzvahs los essay. There is a sugya that appears in the Kuf Yudal and the Maseches Yevamos in the realm of Yisurim in the following. Let's say I have a katan who's violating Yisurim. I walk by and I see a child eating treif. I walk by and I see a child being Mechel Shabbos. Abai is supposed to do something about that. So katan oichel nevela is based in mitzvah lafrishay or ain't based in mitzvah lafrishay. So it's a loaded sugya in the Gemara. The Gemara tells a funny story about one time they forgot the keys to the Beis Medrash. You know the joke. You guys know the joke. Okay. So they share long enough. They know all the jokes. Also. So they forgot to with the keys to the Beis Medrash. When they realized that they were outside of the Arab, so they couldn't open up the Beis Medrash. So Gemara came up with this grandiose scheme. The keys were laying on the floor somewhere in the middle of the street. So they said, let's get the kids to go play. We can't tell the kids directly to pick up the keys, but they'll play around a little bit, and they'll see the keys, and some of the kids like to play with keys. They'll go and they'll open up the door for the show, open the Beis Medrash for us. So Gemara, the whole discussion, you're allowed to do that, not allowed to do that. So in the middle of that discussion, so the Gemara tells us what they did. So the Gemara says, one of the Amoraim said, Yavo Talia v'Talia says, let the little Talia and Talia says come and play, and they'll find the key. So Talia is Aramaic for a little boy. Talia says Aramaic for a little girl. So the Gemara said that let the boys and girls come and they'll play and they'll find the keys and shine. So somebody asked the Satmar Rebbe once and said, what is this? It's a co-ed playgroup. He said, they're bringing the boys and the girls together to play. So the Satmar Rebbe said, no, you don't understand Pshat the Gemara. So the goal was they wanted the kids to see the keys. So if you're going to bring a bunch of boys together, they'll punch, they'll throw balls at each other, no one's going to bother looking down. But if you bring the little girls in, then the boys aren't going to look at them. So they're going to look down the floor. Oh, they'll see the keys. So I'm not sure it's a Pshat of the Gemara, but it's definitely an innovative Pshat. So the Gemara is a running machlokes whether we have to do something. It's Talia, if it's a cut lechon aveiros, little babies doing aveiros, little kids doing aveiros, are we mukhif to do something or not? So we happen to pask in halacha that we're not really mukhif to. We pask in halacha that the cut lechon aveiros, so ain based mitzvah lafrishay. So there is a machlokes in the Rishonim. How do we understand this halacha that a cut lechon aveiros ain based mitzvah lafrishay? What happened to chinuch? Isn't there a mitzvah chinuch? Aren't I supposed to make sure that the kids are eating the sukkah, that they're staying, they're davening, that they're in Kiddush, they're eating matzah, and now all of a sudden the kids eating tripe, and the kids are in Mechal Shabbos, I just look the other way. What in the world happened to the mitzvah of chinuch? So there's a major machlekes in Rishayim how to understand that. So although there was one opinion in Rishayim that said, there's a difference between mitzvahs esay and mitzvahs losasay. There's no chinuch and losasay. Very hard to understand why that should be so, but such an opinion exists. But perhaps the more popular answers of Rishayim are the following. There are some Rishayim who say, that enoch enami, that the question is better than the answer, that if the child has reached the age of chinuch, so enoch enami, then of course you have to stop them. The Gemara is talking about little kids, the little babies, the little two-year-olds are playing on the floor. So that's called a katan shelo hagiyah lechinuch. So before the age of chinuch, you don't have to make them do mitzvahs, and you don't have to make them be careful, do aveiros. But enoch enami, if the kid's already 10, 11 years old, the bondage is a din of chinuch. There's chinuch on los essays, just as much as there's chinuch on mitzvahs essays. That's one answer in Taisus. And then other Rishonim, Taisus called such an opinion, other Rishonim say a different answer, that no. Maybe the mitzvah of chinuch is only on the father. Chinuch is not on somebody else's kids. Chinuch is on my own kids. So the Gemara, all the Gemaras that say I have to make sure the kid is eating in the sukkah and he's shaking a lulam and he's davening, etc. That's my child. I don't have to be mechanach your child. When the Gemara says, "Ein beis in mitzvah lafrisha," that means the beis, that means the community. If the rabbi sees a kid eating tripe, it's not his problem. But if the father sees the kid eating vada, so you have to stop. So there are two ways of understanding Pshat's Gemara. So again, one group of Rishonim says that the only time Katan Oichel Nevelos Ein beis in mitzvah lafrisha means he's under the age of chinuch, but over the age of chinuch, you do have to stop even somebody else's child. And the other group of Rishonim say, no, it's not necessary. Even if it's somebody else's child, over chinuch, it's not my problem. It's only my concern if it's my child. How do we pass in halacha on this? So the Rambam quotes both days. So the Mishavura quotes the Chayyadah with the Pshara, that I'm a mechuv to stop somebody else's child from doing aveiros. So the Chayyadah says, depends. If the child's doing an issa deraisa, then I really should intercede. I should try to stop him. If he's only doing an issa derabanan, then you can rely on the mekilim. Then you're not mechuv. If it's your child, you have to stop him on the derabanans also. But it's yadim, somebody else's child, it's only a derabanan anyway, so it's not the end of the world. So I remember I once spoke about this. I'd gone away for a Shabbos, and I was supposed to be like a official scholar residence, whatever it was. It was not in Eretz Yisrael, it was in America. And I was supposed to speak, like Shal Shur was supposed to give a shiur at Halacha between Mincha Ma'ariv time. So I hadn't yet decided what I was going to talk about. They didn't have such fancy, grandiose poems and presentations before. So it was kind of on the fly. So I noticed that Shabbos morning, it was around November time, that Shabbos morning, so right in front of the shul, there were big piles of leaves, and all the little kids were collecting the leaves and piling up the leaves on Shabbos and jumping on the leaves and playing with the leaves, and a whole pot around about that. So I was very taken aback. I said there were two potential Chilul Shabbos issues there. First of all, the leaves are muktzah, but a more serious Chilul Shabbos was that maybe Nisa Deraisa Ma'amer, that you're gathering together things that grow. So even though usually we don't think about Ma'amar being, we don't take it too seriously, Ma'amar very rarely comes up, because there's a Tais and Beitza that claims that Ma'amar only applies with Makam Gedula. It only applies where the item grows, which is a startling statement. Where do we ever find that Malach and Shabbos only applies in certain locations? So when we learned Masechah Shabbos, we suggested an idea that Ma'amar is not really about Tzibus or Malacha, because it's almost like a Malacha Gerua. It's almost like Chatzor. Like, nothing happened. He didn't change anything. Ma'amar is Nikra al Shem Gemar HaKetzira. That's the end of the Ketzira. The Ketzira is the Malacha, and then there's another Malacha that's kind of like the final touches of Ma'amar. So that only makes sense if you're gathering up the stuff. B'Shas HaKetzira, right after it fell to the ground, then if you do Ma'amar, that makes sense. If you do Ma'amar in the house, that's not going to be Ma'amar. Fine. Whatever the lumbus is. So I was wondering, are these kids in violation of Ma'amir or not? Is this a real Torah violation of Ma'amir? My nafkamina for me, these kids were under by mitzvah, the nafkamina is, am I mechuyif to intercede or not? So according to this pesach, the Mishibu and the Chayodom, if they're the fact they're violating Muktzah, that's not my problem. But if they're violating Ma'amir, so that may be my problem. So is this Ma'amir deraisa or not? So I was thinking to myself, that l'chor, these kids probably were the only ones in the history of the world to figure out a way to violate Ma'amar Midaraisa, because this is the malacha tzrich l'gufa. Usually that's if you rake leaves, that's a malacha she'en tzrich l'gufa. I don't want the leaves. I'm not interested in the leaves. That's a malacha she'en tzrich l'gufa, according to Rabban, according to most Rishonim. But here, this is tzrich l'gufa. They're collecting the leaves in order to jump with them, to play with them. So that's the tzrich hadover, so that would be malacha deraisa. So the only possible tzad that it would be the Rabbanan is that it wasn't edible. It was only leaves. So the Mechas Chinuch raises the question, is there really Ma'amer, Bin HaTorah, Amin Bechlal, on things that are not going to be used for food anyway, like just the Eitzim, things such as Eitzim, the leaves, etc. So the Mechas Chinuch claims it's a Machlaikis in the Gemara, who the Mekashish Eitzim was. What violation did he do? So one day in the Gemara is he was over Ma'amer, and the other day the Gemara says he's a Mekashish over carrying. So what's the kudus of machlokes? The Mechas Chinuch creates a whole lumdish razzle dazzle machlokes. Is there ma'amir shalova eichlin or not? So these kids were like since the Mekashish, there has been anyone violating ma'amir since the days of the Mekashish. So I wasn't sure what to do. So, you know, I was only there for Shabbos. I felt it was a little bundle for me to go walk around and tell all the parents that the kids are violating, according to some Rishonim, this is the Raisi Ma'amir. So I didn't know how to deal with that. So I decided, you know what, I'll talk about this topic between Minhag HaMaariv. So that was the Shiur between Minhag HaMaariv. I spoke about Ma'amar Derais, Ma'amar Derabban, I spoke about Chinuch, I spoke about why you should or should not intercede when your kids are gathering leaves, and all the intelligent parents who figured out what I was talking about would realize the following week what to do about it, and probably no one knew what I was talking about, so that was the topic. Okay. Anyway, I don't think there's too many leaves left on the trees these days and right now, so we'll leave out the Ma'amar issues for now. So back to our story. So is there a requirement of chinuch on somebody else's child? So ultimately that boils down to this question. When we speak about the chinuch in the realm of Yisurim, so the poskim point out that the shiur of chinuch, the age of chinuch, may be different than the age of mitzvah essay. Mitzvah essay, so it depends on the maturity of the child, depends on the mitzvah. Some mitzvahs are more complicated than others. So the child has to know how to do the mitzvah pretty much in the proper fashion. So let's say, for example, if a kid doesn't really know how to shake a lulav, he knows how to take a lulav, then he hits his younger sibling on the head with it, that's not quality gilachinuch for a lulav. He has to be old enough to know how to be menanea. Most adults don't know how to be menanea. I also can't figure out how to be menanea properly. So menanea is not so little. You have to figure out basically pretty much how to do the nanuim to some degree. Katan adel menanea is chayev, you have to give him a little vinesri. Well, let's say the child knows how to get dressed, so he knows how to wear tzitzis properly, then becomes chayiv in tzitzis, etc. So mitzvah essay require a little bit of a higher age in order to be chayiv in that particular mitzvah. When it comes to isurim, so the child doesn't have to be so smart, he just has to understand one word, the Mishnah Berurah says, the word no. So most adults don't understand that word, but he has to understand what the word no means. If you tell him, no, you can't do this, so that's considered to be a higya l'chinuch. That's a fairly young age, because they pretty much know a little bit. You know Shabbos, you don't do certain things, even though he thinks everything is muktzah. I remember once a kid was trying to convince me 100%, Rabbi, the reason why you're not allowed to write on Shabbos is because the pencil is muktzah. The reason why you can't drive a car on Shabbos is because the car is muktzah. So it's the opposite. It means you can't drive the car, you can't write, and then mamela, the item is muktzah. But most kids don't understand that relationship. But the bottom line is, he doesn't have to be a no walsh for Shabbos kechosah. He has to understand what the word no means. It's Shabbos. You don't do this and this on Shabbos. And that's already called, that's called a gil lechinuch. So even though there is machlokes in the Rishonim, whether gil lechinuch applies to somebody else, whether the din of chinuch by surah applies to other person's child, or calls by is not a gil lechinuch if this one doesn't apply even to mine, there is a separate issue that the Gemara talks about in Masechet Yevamos, that same sugya, called safina lebi adayim. That you're not allowed to be machel bi adayim. You're not allowed to actively cause a child to do an adeira. either by literally feeding him the tray for food, or by encouraging him to eat the tray for food, or by standing with him next to a light switch and saying, could you please turn that on for me? So those are all absolute isurim. That's an isur gomor called lahachalas hakotan biyadayim. That makes no difference whether it's my child, somebody else's child, doesn't matter how old the child is. To feed tray for food to a child is an isur gomor min haTorah. There is a famous question that's posed. That's a possible question on the Aseret HaDibros. When the Torah says, L'sasukam alocha ato bincha vitecha, so bincha vitecha there clearly do not mean over the age of bar bas mitzvah. That's ato. That's who the Torah is speaking to. Obviously, it's referring to children under the age of bar bas mitzvah. So why do I need a posuk in the Aseret HaDibros? Typically, there's the one Yavamas Kufyadal. It's a funny way of asking the question, but that's what the way the question is asked. It means the Gemara learns out from other psukim. There's a din in Kol Torah Kula, that you're not allowed to be machshel lekotan. So my chitshalanu haTorah and the pasuk of the Aseret HaDibros. What does the Torah mean to add by losachul atav bincha bitecha? So there are different answers given to this question. So there's a famous answer from Reb Chaim. And Reb Chaim said that the chiddush of the pasuk is, so it's almost like a brisk avort. He says that the chiddush of the pasuk is that by Shabbos it's a nisa prati, it's not just a nisa klali. If I feed treifas to a child, so I didn't really violate the isra of eating treifas. It's not really my isra of eating treifas. It's just I was machal the child to eat treifas. When I caused the child to do aveiras, so it's not that I did this prat itself. When it comes to chil Shabbos, as Reb Chaim, the chiddush haTorah is that called my chil Shabbos. That if I'm machshir my child in the chil Shabbos, so I'm called the mamish of maisef in chil Shabbos for me. That's the word from Reb Chaim. So this Reb Chaim is quoted, to the best of my knowledge, I don't know where this is in the Kisra Reb Chaim itself, but it's quoted by Reb Chaim Oizer. In Tshuva Sachiezer, he quotes that Shabbati, B'Shem, Reb Chaim Brisk, this teretz, that by Chil Shabbos, it's a new vort, that is considered to be literally your act of Chil Shabbos proper. So when I saw this vort quoted from Reb Chaim Brisk, then the whole story made sense to me. What was the story? So it was a famous mice that happened in Brisk. I wasn't there, but that's what the famous story that happened in Brisk. That Reb Chaim was the Rav in town, so one of his jobs was to make sure that the Eruv was up to par. The strange thing, there was an Eruv in Brisk. You know, Briskers don't carry an Eruv usually, but there was an Eruv in Brisk, like in all the other towns in Europe. So there was an Eruv in Brisk, and one time the Eruv fell down on Friday night, so Reb Chaim had to make sure that nobody was carrying. So in Europe, they used to have the baker's oven. People didn't have their own ovens. They would leave their chulins for the big baker's oven on Friday afternoon. Everybody would come and pick up their chulin to Shabbos morning. They didn't have chulins Friday night because it was too hard to carry 2 times. So they only had Nebuch. Until 20 years ago, no one had chulins Friday night. So they had to have chulins only Shabbos morning. So the women would come, the husbands would come home from shul. Women would go to the baker's oven to go bring home the chulins. So Chaim sat by the oven and he told all the women when they came, you can't carry the chulins. You don't have chulins. You have to come here and eat the chulins here. You can't carry the chulins home. The air fell down. So there was one woman who came with her little girl to pick up the chulin. And Reb Chaim told her that the air fell down. So she said, it's okay, Rabbi. I said, that's right, my child, my little girl will carry the chulin for me. So Reb Chaim says, no, you can't do that. She said, you know what, I'll have your child do a melacha for you. That's safina v'yadayim. So she said, come on, Rabbi. She's only 6 years old. Come on, it's all right. It's okay. So the story gets a little bit murky here. So I don't take any responsibility for the story. It sounds like a little tough, but I'll just tell the way the story is presented, and you can do whatever you want with it. The way the story goes is that Reb Chaim told the Shabbos to go home to tell the husband she threw out all the wine in the house because he said that his wife is a Mechal Shabbos for Fahesia. Wife is Mechal Shabbos? Who Mechal Shabbos for Fahesia did she do? She just told the child to carry the chulin for her. No, the story is Reb Chaim Mishutosli. That Reb Chaim held that when you ask your child to do a Melach and Shabbos for you, you're called a Mechal Shabbos. So everybody's watching this whole story. Everyone's watching her instructing the girl to, the rabbi's telling her, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. She's still doing it. So Reb Chaim held that wasn't Nisa Kol, it's a Prati. It's a Lomda Shechel Shabbos for Hesia. Again, I wasn't in Brisk. I cannot tell you when the story happened. I cannot tell you what that Reb Chaim said. I can't tell you that it's staked in Shuvas Reb Chaim Oizer. Whether there's any connection, living or dead, between that and this supposed story, you can use your own imagination. So some people get like all turned, you know, get all nervous about the story. I didn't find a lot much sin. There's another story that actually happened, but there's a story about the Brisker Rav, where somebody was telling the Brisker Rav some whole story, some mice about something. So they asked the Brisker Rav, do you really believe it? So the Brisker Rav responded something like, you're not a Kleifer Bamun if you don't believe it. He said, it's not from the Gimli Kari Amun if you don't believe the story. So most stories are like that maybe they did happen, they didn't happen, but it's very rarely you consider it to be in a Mammon if you don't believe a particular story. So maybe it didn't happen, I don't know, but the Shekhar Torah in Reb Chaim does actually appear. Anyway, back to the real story, the story that really did happen. So the bottom line is that I'm not allowed to be machil a child via dayim, not just Shabbos, Kashrus, all areas of Allah. So there is a fascinating discussion that started in the days of the Rishonim with the Sefer HaRekeach. The Sefer HaRekeach has a fascinating application of this din of not being machshel a kotter in Isurim. So the Sefer Kef says that this Isur begins even before birth. What possible Isur can the child do in utero? So the Sefer Kech writes that let's say you have a Eishes Kayim Uberes, you have a wife of Kohen who's pregnant, and she wants to go to the cemetery, she wants to go to a funeral. So the Sefer Kech says, wait a second, this is a little pashut. He said, there's an Isur to Matamis HaKohen Koton. So says the Rokech, you're not allowed to be Matamis HaKohen Koton, and this is a Suffolk Kohen Koton. Maybe it's a Zohar, it's in a Keva. So you don't know whether it's a Zohar, it's in a Keva, so therefore the Chorit should be a problem. So the Sefer Kech says, no, it's okay anyway. Why is it okay anyway? The Ikaron should really be a problem, says the Rokech, but the reason why it's Mutter, that's fake speaker. What's the fake speaker? So it's a 50-50 chance whether it's a Zohar or whether it's in a Keva. The Imtim to Leiva that it's a Zohar. Maybe it's not going to be a viable a baby. Maybe it'll be a Nafil. So if it's a Nafil anyway, it's not going to be a real person. So there's a more than a 50% chance that it's okay. So that Api Alocha qualifies as a fake speaker. That's the famous fake speaker, the Rekech. There's a Rivash that says that whenever you don a Huchas fake speakers, you have to always be careful that the Sfeik Sfeikas, at least one of the Sfeikas, are what we call a Sfeik HaShokol. So it's always a tricky thing in Huchel Sfeik Sfeika, whether the two Tzadadim and the Sfeik are really 50-50 or not. So the Rivash writes that if you look at the Gemara always has this Sfeik Sfeika, Sfeik Zacha, Sfeik Nekeva. So the Rivash says that's the perfect example of a Sfeik HaShokol. Because he says, Shadu'a Lefi Teva Ha'olam, that's the only thing in the world that's absolutely perfectly equal. I mean, again, it may be 50.001 to 49.09, but basically, Lefi Rose Enenu, it's an absolute shuffle. That's the existence of a number of boys in the world and girls in the world are mamish identical. That's what the Rivash said. Clearly, there was no shit of crisis in the days of the Rivash. Nobody today would ever say such a thing. But, no way it connects. No, that's not impossible. There shouldn't be such a thing. That existed even before the days of the Rivash. But Lamaisa, the Gemara has such a sveik sveik, and the Rekech borrowed the sveik sveik as well. So with a sigh of relief, he says, the Eishes Kayim Uberes is allowed to go to the cemetery because that's sveik sveik. So this idea that the Rekech is applying l'hachel b'yadayim before the kid's even born, that's already a chiddush, like a chiddush, but that's his pshat. So do we follow this Rekech? Sounds like a great chumrah, but sounds like a great kula. So a lot of the Acharonim raise a red flag about this Rekech, bein l'kula bein l'chumrah. So some of the Acharonim raise the question why the Rekech even needed this kula altogether. The Magen Avraham, Hilcha Shabbos, the siman about having the kids do melachah on Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham says he doesn't understand why the Rekech needed the Sfeik Sfeika. It should be mutter anyway because the Uber doesn't, it's not Makabal Tumah because it's what's called Tahara Blua. The Gemara says in the fourth Beg of Chulin that if an animal swallows a ring and then goes into a cemetery and then comes out, and the ring comes out, the ring is still Tahar because it was Balua Begufa HaBehema. So whenever something is swallowed up inside another body, that's called the Tahara Blua. Tahara Blua is not Makabal Tumah. So what's the Rekech Hakadas with the Sfeik Sfeika? Tape of it's not Makabal altogether. That's the Magen Avraham's Akash against the Rekech. So answers, different answers to explain what this Rekech is all about. The bottom line is this Rekech is very, very much relevant halach l'maisa for us today because very often I get to Shaila, the Eishes Kayim Uberes wants to go to cemetery, wants to go to funeral, she's in medical school, there's a lot of different potential shahs that come up. So in the olden days, the official psak used to be, oh, the Rekech said it's mutter, everything's great, everything's hunky-dory, it's a fake steak and good to go. This man is there, we have to rephrase that question. So first of all, who says the Sfeik Sfeik anymore? So half the time, the women know what they're having. And even if they don't know yet what they're having, maybe they should be Mavar what they're having. So there's a whole discussion, Huchas Sfeik Sfeika, how much do you have to be Mavar? So say, maybe, I should say as follows, go get a sonogram, go find out whether you're carrying a boy or not. It's a suffix Efshel Lavaria. So she says, what do you mean? But the insurance company doesn't cover this sonogram. So that called Efshel Lavaria, but call it out. Depends what your budget is for extra excess of sonograms. Maybe in Eretz Yisrael they cover it, but in America they wouldn't cover a sonogram to be, I'd say, the Sfeik Sfeik of the Rekech. There would be no line on the insurance form to figure out, to explain to you why exactly you're going for an extra sonogram. So that's a question of the Peskim. So usually when people ask me to Shatla, I say to them, it depends. If you know you're having a boy, so it's not, there's no Pashut. If you don't know you're having a boy, some of them will get the shot on a Sunday morning. We want to go to Levi in an hour from now, so it's Yev Shalavar Bakal. So you can't go over and get a sonogram in an hour. So maybe that would be more grounds to make like the Rekech. Maybe we can rely on the Magen Avraham. Some have other answers to the Magen Avraham. There's a lot of theories about this. But the whole thing started with this assumption of this Rekech that the Din L'Hachal B'Yadayim actually begins in utero. So even well before this child is born, there's already a potential problem in terms of L'Hachal B'Yadayim. So the bottom line is that the Sugi of Chinuch touches on Mitzvah Seseh, touches on Mitzvah Los Seseh. There are a couple of fundamental questions that we have to ask ourselves is whether Chinuch is more child-oriented, whether Chinuch is more adult-oriented. it could be that there's an interplay between the asay part and the los asay part. But just as when it came to the mitzvah's essay, so we saw it's not clear whether the chinuch is on the child or on the parent, that may be the root of the issues by the los asays as well. That if you hold that chinuch is very, very parent-oriented, so then one can argue, I'm the parent, so it's my issue. If it's not my child, that's not my issue. If you hold that chinuch is more child-oriented, so if it's child-oriented, so then why should it make a difference whose child it is? If I see somebody else's child not doing what they're supposed to be doing, l'chora, I should try to get involved if it's feasible, if it's practical to do so. So a lot of these issues seem to be interlinked to one another. What is the nature of this whole idea of chinuch? Is it more parent-centered? Is it more more child-centered? But l'chora, there is a fundamental question that we alluded to before, which really segues into the chelek ha-machshava to some degree. This idea that some Rishonim hold that chinuch is child-centered, so what does that mean? Why does the child have to do it? So we come to the child and say, midrabbanan yechayev mitzvah. So the child smart enough will say, wait a second, heichan tzivanu. Who said I'm chayev to do the rabbanans? I in Shabbos chav gimel min aleph. Lo sasana davar she'gilu chayim min asmol. I'm not chayev to listen to the rabbis. So if I'm not chayev to listen to the rabbis, so why am I chayev to shake the lulav midrabbanan? The concept of a mitzvah derabbanan to someone who's not chayev mitzvah min haTorah, the chora is a contradiction in Neil Bay. So what is the bira davar? What is this all about? So Rabbi Chaim Wasserman in Kutzos Divrei Sofrim, the Ginnim Chelek Beis and Kevich Yurim, so develops a yisod to answer this question, which goes way, way, way beyond the intricacies of the sugya of chinuch. Rabbi Chaim develops a yisod about Avodas Hashem that there is one basic fundamental obligation that drives all of us throughout our entire lives, and that is we are here, we are created, our task in this world is to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. That's it. We're mechuyav to do the Dvar Hashem. We're mechuyav to do the Ratzon of Hashem. The greatest challenge in life is to figure out what that Ratzon is. Everyone agrees that's what we have to do, but we're not quite sure what it is. How do we figure out, how do we determine what the Ratzon of Hashem is? So says Rebbe Chanan, like in Brisket Torah, there are two manifestations of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us in this world. Sometimes, some things are easy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us exactly what He wants of us. He gave us a Tosh B'Chsav, and He gave us a Tosh B'Chsav. We have a whole world of halacha to tell us that you have to do this, and you can't do this, you got to do that, you can't do that. Whatever the prate pratim of the halacha are, that is a direct guidance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what He expects of us in this world. So that's like a given, that's Pasha. But then there's a second aspect of Avodas Hashem, and that's the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're mechuyev to do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, even though He didn't actually tell it to us. If we're smart enough to figure out, or someone else is smart enough to tell us what it is, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us, even though He didn't actually tell it to us explicitly, that is also binding on us. That's the Ratzon Hashem, albeit without the Tzivi of Hashem. So says the Bechon, and that secondary level of Ratzon Hashem without Tzivi Hashem is not part of the Olam of Mitzvahs. The sugyas of Mitzvahs and Tzivuyim, etc., that speaks about the Tzivuyim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ratzon Hashem is a different world, works with its own rules. The idea of a tzivoy, a mechuyev in mitzvahs, so different people are chayev in different mitzvahs. So men are chayev in certain mitzvahs, women are chayev in other mitzvahs, Jews are chayev in certain mitzvahs, non-Jews are chayev in other mitzvahs, gedol v'chayev, ketan v'chturim, there are klolot and halacha as to when tzivoyim were given. When it comes to Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are no klolim. The klal of Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is if you're old enough, again, if you're 6 months old, you don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, you don't have any, you're not a da'at bar das in any shape or form, so obviously you can't be held accountable for what you're doing. But once you are old enough to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of you, it doesn't matter whether you're quote-unquote bar mitzvah or not, it doesn't matter whether you're a man, it doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or not Jewish. The fact that you are placed into this world, that in and of itself carries with it a price tag, an obligation of doing what the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So Rabbi Chanan highlights that this is true just as well for non-Jews. He quotes the Pesukim in Parshas Balak, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Bilam, don't go curse Klal Yisrael. And then Bilam kvetches and kvetches and kvetches, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally says, okay, go. Like when your kid bothers you enough, say, go, do whatever you want. So then it says, Becharaf l'kim k'olecho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry that he went. So the question is, he just told him to go. So the answer is, that's a joke. He didn't tell him to go. He told him, leave me alone. You know, so he said, yeah, kvetch, you want to go, so go, do it. Because Bilam knew that that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. So Bilam can't say, well, what do you mean? Doing Ratzon Hashem is not from the Shev Mitzvah Bein Noyah. So it doesn't, I'm a goy. What does that do with me? So the answer is, this is not mitzvahs. This is just the ABCs of existence in this world. As a human being, you are held accountable to do the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you are smart enough to realize what the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so you are mechuyev to do it. That's what everybody, Jew and non-Jew, are held accountable for. The Bukhan says that, in fact, there's a whole area of halacha that's predicated on this. Says Rabbi Chanan, how did the person figure out what the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is? Much harder, much easier to understand the Tzivuyim than the Ratzon. So Rabbi Chanan gives you a little bit of a mashal. I'm going to elaborate on the mashal, put a little bit more down into today's world, but the basic idea already is expressed in Rabbi Chanan without the nuances and details I'm about to present. They usually present this as the first night after Sheva Brachas mashal. So the couple just got married, and they're eating the first dinner together. Sheva Brachas is over already, and they're eating dinner, and they're cleaning up. And then the wife says, very nice with a smile, can you please throw out the garbage? So the husband's so excited because that's what they told him in chassan classes, that his wife asked him to throw out the garbage, you have to throw out the garbage. He doesn't know where the garbage can is, doesn't know where the chute is, doesn't know where anything is, but he's been waiting for 25 years to do this. So he takes the garbage out, he throws the garbage out. Very nice. She's happy, she smiles, but fine. Next night, the same scene repeats itself 2-3 nights in a row. She asks him, please take out the garbage. He asks him. But the fourth night, she doesn't bother to take out the garbage. What happens? She wakes up the next morning, the garbage, she takes it like the dorm. The garbage is still sitting there at Beer's Goyal. So there's still garbage there. So she starts to cry. Why do you throw the garbage? So he does mistake 101 of early marriage. What does he say? He said, you didn't tell me to. So then she starts crying even more. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokes? Why is it he says he didn't tell me and she's crying that he didn't take out the garbage? What are they fighting about? So Nekudas HaMachlokes is very simple. What he's saying is that I'm very good at Tzivuyim. When you tell me to do something, I'm good. Yes, down the line, he's not going to be so good at that either, but at least for now, he's good at the Tzivuyim. Whereas she said, I don't just want Tzivuyim, I want Russell also. You know that's what I want. You know I want you to take out the garbage. I don't have to tell it to you. And so she's upset because she realizes that he doesn't really understand what she wants. That's, therein lies in the Kudus HaMachlokes. So hopefully, as years go on, they merge use the gap a little bit to figure out about how to have a happy, healthy marriage with your garbage getting cleaned out once in a few weeks. Anyway, so if he's in charge. So the bottom line is that that's the notion of Ratzon. So what does it take to get Ratzon? How do you reach the point of Ratzon? So says the poor guy, he doesn't really know his wife well enough. That's the problem. But after years, so you've been married for 25 years, you know exactly what your wife wants. She doesn't have to tell you what you know what makes her upset. So comes Rabbi Chanan and says, when you know somebody very, very well, so you're able to figure out exactly what the Ratzonis are. So Lahavdil now, the same in our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the tzivuyim, I got a list. Hashem Baruch Hu, a list of mile long of tzivuyim, mitzvahs, tayach mitzvahs. So every list, sifkat mishavur, got all the tzivuyim down pat. How do you figure out what the ratzon is? So you can only pick up ratzon when you know the person well. In this case, when you know Kodesh Baruch Hu well, when you know Kodesh Baruch Hu well, and you develop a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so then you will know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of you. How do you develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we can only know HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Yediyas HaTorah. You lay around in other Mechai, we cannot glimpse HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any other way. When Moshe Rabbeinu asks the Ribbono Shelom, Hareini Nas Kvadecha, I want to see your essence. So we're all pumped up, all psyched up in Parshat Kisisa. But Baruch Hu says, okay, I'm going to show you what I have. I'm going to give you a galaxy, everything about me. For Isa Sachora, you're going to see. And now we're ready. The Aliyah ends, and we're ready for the next Aliyah to start with some grandiose, a Mar Hashchina. We're expecting blown away by some Zayr or something. And what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Go back and learn Masechah Shabbos, go back to learn Limud HaTorah, just write the Dibros over again and get Klai Yisrael working again on Divrei Torah. That's how you know Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the grandiose answer. The more you learn a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Chochma, the more a glimpse you get into Elokus. The more you understand what the Rav Hashem wants of us, the more you understand what the Ratzon Hashem is. So Rav Chanan says, that's where the whole world of the Rabbanans enters into the picture. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us their Isis with the Tzivuyim. The Rabbanans were the Ratzon of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Chachamim figure out that a Kodesh Baruch Hu really wants, when you have a great miracle, B'chash B'noim, the Ratzon Hashem is we should light Chanukah candles and sing Hallel. That's the Ratzon of the Rav Hashem. He didn't tell me, but Bnei Vino, Yemei Shmona, they were smart enough to figure that out. The Chachamim figured out that this is a good idea, not a good idea, etc. It says in B'chanan, the notion of having a child do a mitzvah, min haTorah, in terms of the Tzivuy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was technically not obligated. In the Olam of Tzivuyim, 13 is the cutoff point, 12 is the cutoff point for girls. But Ratzon, you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the 11-year-old to come to shul? You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want your 12-year-old to be sitting in the sukkah? You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want your 10-year-old to be eating matzah? Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Again, if you have a 6-month-old kid, you bring him to shul, it's probably just going to make a mess for everybody else. But when you bring your 10-year-old and he davens, it's just like a mention, he davens, that's not the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Meshech Chochma said, ki yedati v'leman ha-sheit tzavas, bonav, that's the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the child has to participate, to be shtatif in the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The child can't hide behind and say, I'm not a mechuyim b'davar, sorry, Losasa doesn't speak to me. Losasa is a tzivoy. This is the Ratzon. The Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-encompassing. It doesn't know any difference, men, women, Jew, non-Jew, child, adult. Once you're old enough to understand anything about the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the male, you're obligated to do the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lest we think that the Ratzon of Kadosh Baruch Hu is not something significant enough. So Rav Chanan says that appears to be what the Shach Matayra in the Psukim in Parshas Yisro is all about, the prelude to Matan Torah. The Gemara quotes at least one opinion that Matan Torah actually happened on the following day after it was supposed to occur. It was really supposed to be in Bar Sivan, and it was pushed off to Zion Sivan. Why is that? Chesed Moshe Yomechem Midaitot. The Moshe Rabbeinu added on another day. Some of the Klai Yisrael needed another couple of hours to get ready for Matan Torah. So the Gemara is a very, very strange statement. The Gemara says, Hosef Moshe Yomechem Midaitot. So the Gemara says, my Dorosh. What Drosha did he have? What Drosha did he have? He just said it was his own initiative. What Drosha? Drosha means Hashem told it him. So Rabbi Chan explains, based on the Ritvon, Masechus Rosh Hashanah, it wasn't a drasha like Petaras Tzivoy. Some drashas are mamash direct Tzivoyim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was a HaKadosh Baruch Hu dropping a hint to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what I'd like. That means Petaras Tzivoy, but the Eved Matan Torah could happen in Vav Sivan. If you come Vav Sivan and you're only here on a day, so Torah will be given anyway. It can happen on Vav Sivan. But we're not ready for it yet. Klai Yisrael not ready. They need another day. So the Tzivoy Vav is good enough, but the ultimate fulfillment of the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you wait the extra day. So the entire Matan Torah was a celebration of the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just to highlight us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Mashar Shechinoso until his Ratzon is fulfilled. All of our Libin HaTorah, all of our Shmiras HaMitzvahs, you have to always ask yourself those two questions. Is this the Tzivoy, is this the Ratzon? Sometimes, you know, there's like this phrase floating around, like in the area of Shabbos, where, you know, remember when you were kids, your parents would say, no, it's not Shabbos dick. So we usually think, not Shabbos dick, that translates to being, it's really okay, hint, hint, but we can't say it. No, not Shabbos dick means that's not the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Ramban's picture, Shabbos Lashem, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Kedoshim to you, this is not the image of what it means to be an Ish Kadosh. Is it technically okay? Was there any violation? Everything was mahadim and mahadim, everything was up to standard. But lamas, this is not what the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So we take the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the utmost seriousness. I'll just close with one, just an interesting, I always find this very inspiring, that this particular Shtikl Torah that I just shared with you from Rabbi Chanan about the significance of Ratzon Hashem and how Matan Torah was the predicated on the notion of Tzivri and Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you could find this in Parashat Vechsav, in the sense of, you could find in the Ksavim of Rabbi Chanan. If you open up Kuntus the Reseifim, Kavachim Chalik Beis, what I just told you is there, Mamash, Kimat verbatim. But I'm telling this to you as Parashat Vechsav. I heard this as pure, I can't get more pure Parashat Vechsav than this. So I heard this from Rav Simcha Wasserman. Simcha was Rav Chanan's son. So I heard this once many years ago. Rav Simcha had come to Rivendell for Shabbos right before Shavuos, and he gave her a whole shmuz, and he quoted over this whole part from Rav Chanan. And then he concluded by saying that I know it's in my father's sefer, but I heard this from my father when he took me on a walk once on Erev Shavuos in the streets of Baranovich. I was a little boy, so he told me this over, Mamash Baal Peh. So I can say now, I'm part of that Tersh Mafet. So Rabbi Chanan told this to Rav Simcha, Simcha told to me, I'm telling it to you. So the significance of the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu permeates all of our Avodas Hashem. Okay, wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos.